What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast presented by the Circa Resort and Casino. I had a phenomenal time out in Las Vegas this week. Circa was amazing. I cannot recommend it enough. Make sure you book your stay with the code DNVR20 for 20% off. My main takeaways from Vegas, as far as my own personal experiences go, Circa is the best spot without a doubt. The sportsbook is undefeated, and I am not as young as I once was. Man, even staying up past my bedtime is getting tough these days, let alone trying to have a few drinks out there. So yeah, it was a blast. It was a whirlwind. Obviously a quick turnaround from day to day, three games in 3 days. Thought we saw the Rams play two pretty good performances, and then, you know, they looked gassed against New Mexico, just being kind of honest. I think that Nevada game took a lot out of. It's hard to play three games in 3 days. It's hard to win that many. It's what makes what New Mexico did that much more impressive. I really didn't think that was possible, and I'm not the only person that follows the league that shared that opinion. I just thought the level of competition was too tough given the format. But you really got to tip your hat to New Mexico and what they did. Just an incredible run. It's a good thing they did it, clearly, based on how the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee treated us this afternoon. I'm still in shock, to be honest with you. Looking at things through a positive lens, this is an NCAA tournament game, despite what any of the cynics may say. If you win, you get NCAA tournament shares. It counts towards your record. So they are NCAA tournament bound for the second time in 3 years. Nico Medved, just the second coach in program history to lead the team to multiple tournaments. And obviously, I'd much rather be in a play-in game than be left out of the field altogether, but I can't believe that we got the 6-bid Mountain West, but three of the teams were in potential for a play-in game. Nevada was only one game out of being in a play-in as well. Boise State got the play-in treatment. That's when I knew things weren't going to go well. It started off pretty good. San Diego State gets a 5 seed. They have pretty comparable non-conference resume to CSU. They finished one game better, you know, than CSU in the league slate. So when they get a 5 seed, you're feeling pretty good. And then you see Boise get a play-in game for a 10 when they were widely projected as a 7. And my nerves immediately started to ramp up. My stomach dropped. I'm glad CSU's in the tournament. I'm glad they have an opportunity. I think Virginia is a tough matchup given their defense, but I do think it's a winnable game. We'll get into all that. I'm shocked that CSU got a play-in game given their non-conference resume. You beat 4 high majors. I know they had their struggles throughout the league slate, but so did San Diego State. San Diego State didn't beat any of the other top teams on the road either. They didn't have the loss in Laramie, I suppose, but there was not very much logic or consistency with how the selection committee approached this. I didn't understand Florida Atlantic being as high as they were. Michigan State's a 9. TCU, they were ranked higher. Then they got a higher seed than Nevada. Nevada beat them by double digits. I don't understand any of it other than the committee just basically didn't care about the Mountain West. They were very apathetic towards everyone other than San Diego State, who obviously made the run last year. Glad they got a little respect, I guess. I just don't understand why that didn't translate over to the rest of the conference if the rest of the conference was as competitive as it was. It was also tight. Utah State gets an 8 seed after winning the conference. How does that check? And then the selection committee has the gall to go on camera and say that the Mountain West got the poor seeds that they got because all of their quality wins were only against each other, which is just blatantly bullshit. CSU beat Creighton on a neutral court by double digits. They beat Washington in Vegas. They beat Nevada in Vegas, which they clearly got no credit for, which is dumb because they certainly would have got penalized for losing to San Jose State. But they beat CU, who's in the field. They beat 7 teams in the field in total. San Diego State beat Gonzaga on the road. Boise State beat St. Mary's. But apparently it would have been better if all these teams just scheduled cupcakes and beat the living hell out of them to juice the numbers, because getting all those quality scalps sure as hell didn't end up getting the Mountain West any respect. Neither did the consistency within the league. You can roll your eyes, you can call me a homer, whatever. It's not just CSU that was disrespected, but how does a team like Florida Atlantic, who didn't beat a single team in the field, get in comfortably? Even Gonzaga, who I'm a big fan of, if you go look at their schedule, and they played some tough opponents, but they lost to Purdue, they lost to UConn, they lost to San Diego State. They also lost to Santa Clara and St. Mary's in the league. Why did the WCC get so much respect when the Mountain West didn't? Their best wins are USC and UCLA in the non-con, neither of which are tournament teams. And if it's just because their predictive metrics are so good, then how is a team like New Mexico, who's 22nd in net, solely dependent on winning the Mountain West tournament, or they would have been left out? There's no consistency within the rationale whatsoever. The only consistency was that the committee disrespected the Mountain West more than every leading bracketologist in the country, 100% of them. Even the most skeptical of cynics, Joe Lenardi, had CSU in much higher than the committee ended up putting them in. The five highest gaps in disparity of where a team was projected in the bracket matrix average versus where they actually landed, all Mountain West teams. I don't even know what you're supposed to do either. 2014-2015, CSU beats the hell out of a bunch of terrible teams. Win 27 games, they still get left out because they didn't have enough high major wins. This year, they beat four high major teams. The league is better than it's ever been. Still almost get left out of the field. San Diego State might be right about the 20-game schedule being bad for these teams' NCAA tournament resumes, but at the same time, I don't know if it would, because if CSU could have gotten a couple of more blowouts, it would have helped their net probably, and if their predictive metrics were a little bit better, although it's inconsistent because it didn't help New Mexico, it did help other teams like Gonzaga. Maybe they avoid Dayton in that situation. I don't know. I guess you just have to have some postseason success and establish some brand recognition like Michigan State, and then you can coast all season and it won't matter because you'll get in anyways because of the Izzo reputation. I mean, Syracuse used to do the same thing. They'd have just a super mediocre record, even get in a play-in game and then make a run. That's the silver lining that I'm telling myself outside of it. This is actually an NCAA tournament game, is that we do see a team from the play-in game make a pretty decent run, at least make the second weekend of the tournament almost every year. Anyways, nothing we can do about it now. I'm going to move on. I'm going to talk about this matchup with Virginia. I'm going to get into some thoughts after the Mountain West tournament and really the season as a whole. Real quick, I do want to shout out our friends. You shouldn't have to worry when you're trying to buy tickets for your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. These days, I get so annoyed because I'll be like, oh, maybe I'll catch a Rockies game. It's a nice summer day. I guess less so these last couple of years, but you get the point. And you hop online, you see, oh man, $14. What a great deal. You get hit with 14 service charges and a million hidden fees later. That $14 ticket turns into a $32 expense. Now with Game Time, the price you see is the price that you get. They've got deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts. They've got exclusive flash deals. They've got zone deals where you pick the section, they pick the seats. You're going to save an average of 18%. And with the Game Time guarantee, if you can find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, redeem that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. I also want to talk to you guys about the Circle K Inner Circle. It's a free membership. All you got to do is sign up with your email and phone number. After that, you'll only have to put in your phone number to get the deals. Your first five Phillips, you're going to get 25 cents off a gallon. You can get five Polar Pops for free. Every sixth item on a lot of things after that, pizza, donuts, dispensed beverages, you're going to get for free. Get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to 31310. Message and data rates apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Visit CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. Finally, Breckenridge Brewery is the craft beer of DNVR. Breck Brew has a beer for any occasion. There's no better way to watch a game than having an ice-cold Breck Brew in hand. They've been doing it for 33 years. It all comes down to their love and passion for making good beer. Made with 100% renewable energy. You gotta love that. Try out some of my favorites, including Avalanche Amber Ale, You can't go wrong with Funslinger. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. Before we get into some Mountain West takeaways and talk about this matchup with the University of Virginia, I do also want to shout out the presenting sponsors, the Circa Resort and Casino, Vegas' first ever adult-only casino resort. They ID you at the front, then you don't have to show it after that. Every time you get a drink, every time you're trying to play a game, if you're in there, they know you're 21. It's awesome. They've got a 7,000-square-foot casino, two levels, over 1,300 slots, 48 table games with dancing dealers. They've got Stadium Swim. It's 143-by-40-foot LED screen, which is followed up by 15,000 square feet of wet space. They've got swim bars, cabanas, super cabanas, six pools, hot tubs, two spas, you name it. It's open 365 days a year. I was out there and it was rainy, not exactly pool weather. There were a ton of people partying out there. I guess that's just what Vegas is all about. If you're heading out to Vegas anytime soon, book your stay with the code DNVR20 for 20% off. The Circa Sportsbook app is also available for download in Colorado. You can download it at circasports.com. Circa Sports bets can be made only while physically located in the state of Colorado. Must be 21 or older, all rights reserved. Circa Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. All right, we're going to get into the pros and cons of the situation that CSU is in with this matchup with Virginia. I did want to give just a couple of thoughts on the Mountain West tournament. First and foremost, Nick Clifford's late block in that corner three to kind of seal the deal against San Jose State, that might have saved the season, just being completely realistic about the situation. It doesn't seem like CSU got much of any credit for beating Nevada. It doesn't seem like it. What it does seem like is Boise State and CSU both got penalized for losing to New Mexico and put in play-in games as a result. Again, I'm trying to move on past all this stuff, but I want to kind of talk about just some of the things that we saw from this team, both good and bad out in Vegas. The good, when you get a complete two-way performance from a guy like Nick Clifford, while Isaiah Stevens is running the show as a facilitator, as they're able to score down low, they're defending at a high level, and also scoring out of the rotation, you get really excited and you remember just how dangerous and really just dominant this team can be on both ends when they play to their full capability. You also see a game against New Mexico where the offensive struggles rear their ugly head. Had some struggles against San Jose State at times as well. Some really clutch shooting from Joe Palmer ended up, you know, really coming up big in the end in that one. CSU is going to need a lot more of that if they're going to make a significant run. I do think the biggest takeaway is that this team is ultimately going to go as far as Isaiah Stevens and Nick Clifford take them. I would put Joel Scott kind of in that third star equation as well. But this team's ceiling is so greatly elevated when they're able to get the type of production that they got from Joe Palmer and Jalen Lake and even Kyan Evans and Tavy to an extent out there. It makes this team so much more dangerous. And against a team like Virginia, that's going to be important. They're going to need guys to knock down open shots, which has been a struggle for this team. And I don't quite understand it. It's like maybe a confidence issue. I don't know. I mean, I know that missing long extended periods of time can impact your shot. That's my only explanation for a guy like Josiah Strong, who continues to play phenomenal defense and is such a huge part of what allows CSU to remain competitive on that side of the ball. But man, I mean, he was a 40%+ three-point shooter on a high volume over multiple years before coming to CSU. And obviously last year had the really weird mono situation, didn't get to play much. I know that's hard for a shooter. I remember Adam Thistlewood, his shot kind of fell off a cliff after he started struggling with injuries and missing time. The thing is, it's easy to say, just stop shooting them. But if they're wide open, uncontested, and in rhythm, you kind of have to take them. That's what you're trying to accomplish within the offense, especially against a team like Virginia, who, I mean, their pack line defense is going to be particularly wonky, and we'll get into the intricacies of that matchup here in just a second. But like, they got to keep firing. I mean, for better or for worse, I can tell you that Isaiah Stevens will get mad when they pass up the wide open looks in rhythm. He'll tell him, you know, shoot the bitch. excuse my language there, but that is what they say. So I just, I know that this team has had some really frustrating offensive moments, but man, it would be so big for this team if a couple of these vets could find a consistent groove from deep. If Josiah Strong, Jalen Lake, Joe Palmer can just consistently knock down a couple of open shots per game. They don't need to go for 20. They don't need to even necessarily go for 15. But if every one of those guys goes for 9 to 12 on an efficient output, we're probably going to be cooking with gas at that point. I think this is a winnable matchup against Virginia. I have a ton of respect for them as a program. This isn't me trying to dog them. I was surprised that they got into the field. I just don't think their resume is super impressive. They don't really have any bad losses. And again, coming back to what I said earlier about Michigan State, they do have the brand recognition as a national champion within the last decade. But CSU should use this as fuel in a winnable matchup. They are 2-point favorites. When you look at UVA, they lost 3 of their final 5 regular season games by double digits, held below 50 points in all of them. They are not a good offensive team. CSU is 19-1 this year when they score 75 or more points. UVA is 2-7 when allowing 70 or more. If you score 70 plus, you should have a pretty good chance to win this game. The caveat is most games for Virginia, they don't allow teams to score more than 70 very often. It's probably going to be a game that's in the 50s, maybe the low 60s. Anything higher than that would be pretty surprising to me unless it just turned into a rout either way. What gives me confidence going into the matchup from CSU's perspective is that while Virginia is just relentless defensively and they're going to make it unique. I mean, the pack line D is not something you see every day. It's kind of like man to man. It's kind of like in between man to man and zone, but closer to man. Basically, like you pressure the ball handler, but the other four guys, instead of standing with their guys, they're all kind of packed in tight around the paint. Basically, just picture one guy at each corner, the top of the key, and then, you know, kind of the bottom of the baseline. As the ball moves, each guy goes out to cover their man. You're just trying to basically prevent penetration, and you don't want guys to drive on you, get in the lane, and they're trying to get you to settle for threes, basically. So you're going to get a lot of open shots. They're going to dare some of these guys to shoot. You don't want to get 2-3 happy. Like if you jack up 40 attempts from deep in this game, I don't know if that's a winning recipe for CSU, but you do have to get them to respect you so that they start gambling defensively. They start trying to, you know, close out a little bit more. They start taking chances. And then all of a sudden, you know, those backdoor cuts are available that weren't necessarily there if they can just sit back and allow you to brick shots. I do everything in my power to try and get Isaiah Stevens as many catch and shoot threes as possible. Actually, in that New Mexico game, they started having a couple of sets where Josiah was basically running the point and hopes of, you know, getting Isaiah free. They'll set some high screens and stuff and try and free him up. He's your most consistent three-point shooter. He is going to have to be huge in this one. If you remember back to that Michigan game, he and Roddy, I think they combined for 21 total. Roddy had 13. Zay had 8, but he was 3 of 11 from the floor. It's one of 2 games in which he fouled out. You need your stars to step up and carry you. I think especially if the Rams are going to make a substantial run, I'm talking past the first weekend, which they have not done this century, you're going to need all these other guys. You're going to need the Joe Palmer moments, the Jalen Lake moments, Josiah Strong getting, you know, key loose balls, Joe Palmer tying a guy up. You need all of that. The open layups when they're there in transition, especially against a team like Virginia, man, who's excellent in the half court. You got to convert when you've got opportunities for easier scores. But if Isaiah is cooking, if Neek can get his, and they're really going to need him at defensively and as a rebounder especially, Joel Scott can get some, you know, key touches down low when they're able to create some penetration. I definitely think the Rams are more versatile offensively and have more scoring options than Virginia. It's just a matter of, is CSU able to execute or not? Can you get consistent ball movement? Can you make crisp passes and avoid turnovers? Can you dictate the tempo a little bit? Because Virginia, they want to bog the game down. They don't even take that many offensive attempts. They're trying to slow everything down, muck it all up. And they're really good at it. So if you've got an opportunity to get out and run on them and not have to create something with a lot of work against the half court, you've got to take advantage of those. When Isaiah drives and he kicks to a wide open Patrick Cartier at the top of the key, they've got to be able to depend on him to cash a couple of those. If just hit 3 of 5, it completely changes the spacing. If Neat can hit a couple of threes, then all of a sudden they're respecting him as a shooter, and he's so quick to the hoop and has so much explosiveness that that's really going to benefit him. This team is good enough and experienced enough to crack a tough puzzle like Virginia and what they throw at you defensively. I also think they are more competent defensively than the CSU team of a couple years ago. And that, you know, that makes me feel good about their chances of being competitive against anyone. This is a big opportunity for CSU to validate this program. We can claim disrespect, we can bring all the logic into the world, but even if the cards are stacked against the league, given some of these tough matchups that they got, nobody's going to care if the Mountain West comes up short again. It's on us to change the narrative, and I sure as hell hope that the Rams go in there feeling disrespected with a chip on their shoulder. I hope they play with the same intensity we saw them play against Nevada with in Vegas last week. If you can get through Virginia, I don't hate the matchup with Texas either. They've got Max Avesmith, former Oral Roberts star, one of the more electric scorers in college basketball history, but that team as a whole, not incredibly deep. They're sloppy at times. I think it's a winnable matchup. You know, I'm not super unrealistic in terms of what CSU ceiling probably is in this tournament. If you win a game, that is a massive success. Even making the tournament was already a success. It would suck if we went 5 years of Roddy Stevens without any NCAA tournament wins, no Mountain West championships. I know a lot of it's circumstantial, and I'm not trying to say they'd be failures or something if they didn't achieve that. I just mean, this is what it's all about. You've got your fifth-year point guard. You've got this team of veterans. They're battle-tested. Why not CSU? Why can't CSU be the team that makes a run? We've seen at their peak that they can hang with anybody. I know they've had some bad moments too, and there's obviously the fear of that shows up again in the tournament, especially against a team like Virginia, who's so overwhelming defensively and just unique. You don't see this type of style very often. But why? I mean, I was in Gainbridge Fieldhouse when St. Peter's beat Kentucky, just jacking up crazy threes. I mean, it was a wild game, but obviously they went on to have an amazing run. I covered the West in person last year. San Diego State and FAU make a Final Four run. You need some luck along the way, but this team is good enough too. They certainly are. And how cool of a story would it be? In an era where loyalty is uncommon, the best player in program history sticks around, doesn't chase a check or hop in the portal, comes back, has an epic season, breaks basically every record in the book, both for CSU and many of the Mountain West records as well. That guy comes and leads his team on an epic tournament run with a cast of players that you can't help but root for. I mean, Neat Clifford, a Colorado kid, passed, basically told to like hit the road, you know, at CU, that we're going to go elsewhere. It was never really maximized. He comes over to CSU, finds a new home, is just a perfect fit. Joel Scott, Patrick Cartier, former D2 players of the year, they make the jump up and find a home in Fort Collins. Joe Palmer is a former D3 player. Jalen Lake, another cool story of selflessness. A guy who certainly expected after his freshman year to kind of be starting the next couple of years and has had to accept this six-man role this season and has done so, and especially on the defensive side, has just been great. He's a guy that I would love to see have a couple of big moments. And we've seen in a couple of big wins, Nevada and also the win over CU, when he is able to knock down shots, it's huge for the Rams. This team has all the makings of a group that could very easily be beloved by a neutral national audience just tuning into March Madness once they find out the stories of, oh man, like multiple guys that made the jump from D2 D2, D3, that's pretty cool. Man, they got this fifth-year point guard that's stuck around. They see a guy like Joe Palmer smiling from ear to ear with the headband, throwing down a dunk or hitting a three. I mean, this is a team that's really easy to get behind. I know the history has not always been kind to us CSU fans. I know it's easy to get down and start to just count yourself out before it even happens. Just assume that the universe is going to be against you. But we've seen so many times in this tournament that magic can happen for anyone. And that's the thought that I'm going into this play-in game, is magic can happen for anyone. Get it going against Virginia, advance, and you never know. You know, beat a team like Texas, you get a chance against a really good Tennessee team, all but likely, who looks really awesome. But, you know, Rick Barnes, he's had some tournament struggles over the years. At least that's a common narrative. It's kind of proven it to be not so true of late. But I just mean, like, anything can happen in this tournament. And I'm so annoyed that CSU has to play in a play-in game, but I'm so grateful that they didn't get left out of the field altogether. I'm so exhausted after this last week in Vegas. I was hoping to get a couple of days at home with my family, my dog. I'm not a huge travel guy. Like, I do it for work, and I love these experiences, and I'm so grateful. I would not want to be anywhere else. But I just mean, as a whole, the process of traveling, it stresses me out. I get a ton of anxiety. Would have been nice to get a couple of days rest at home, but it is what it is. This is March. We'll sleep in April. Let's make some magic. Let's shock the world. I know that travel won't be easy. Getting to Dayton is a logistical nightmare on this short of a turnaround, so maybe not going to be as big of a CSU contingent there as if they had just made the field traditionally. And that's certainly a bummer. It sucks that there will be less people able to be there than there should have been. It's become so expensive in general. The whole process has become very unaffordable for the average fan. That's a separate side rant. But, you know, all we can do at this point is use it as fuel, use it as motivation, and take care of business. If we're going to change the narrative, it comes down to us winning some games. I want to see it happen. If you are out in Dayton and you want to say hi, you're at the arena, you know, tweet at me. I'll come over. I'd love to say hi to you guys. I appreciate everybody for supporting the content. Looking forward to covering my third consecutive NCAA tournament. Second, of course, covering CSU. Last year, I just covered the West Regional. But I cannot wait. Cannot wait to see what happens. Always proud to be. Much love, y'all. Peace.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.